Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, Esther has a special guest in studio, and that is Barry Finkelstein. Barry is the owner of the Law Office of Barry Finkelstein, which is a full-service estate planning law office providing estate planning, administration, and fiduciary services to clients throughout the San Francisco Bay Area. Barry specializes in comprehensive collaborative estate planning, estate administration, and professional fiduciary services, which include virtual family offices for high net worth estates. Good morning, Esther and Barry. How are you?
Well, I will go first. We are doing well today. You know, it's a time where currently, maybe all resolved by the time this comes out, that would be lovely. But the markets are in a lot of downfall because of the coronavirus concerns, and there's been more concern nationally about it. But right now, everyone is doing great, and I'm so excited to talk about this topic and why we're here, regardless of whatever is going on in the market and the world. And Barry, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Esther. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm excited to have you here. Thanks for being here.
And you said that you're excited about the topic, but I'm kind of in the dark here, Esther. Why did you bring Barry on?
Well, Barry is, as you mentioned, Barry is an estate planning attorney, and he creates the documents that are all important for us to have about not just where we want our assets to go when we pass, but what about when we possibly reach a point where we're not able to make our own financial decisions, our own healthcare decisions. And these are difficult things to consider and think about. And for women in transition, what they often find, even if they're not in a period of transition, maybe their adult parents are in a period of transition where, as family members, we start to notice, you know, mom or dad or both are not quite as sharp as or able as they used to be. And in these times, most of the women that I work with, regardless of whether or not they have children or not, of course, if people have children, that creates another layer of, you know, wonder and also responsibility. Most people don't have time to stop and ensure that their parents are getting all the services that they need. And Barry is an excellent, he's very informed, experienced, and a wonderful resource in this area of, well, then what do you do? And so that is what we're talking to Barry about today. We're not talking about estate planning per se, but we're talking about his services of being a public fiduciary and what that means.
All right. Well, I'm here to learn.
Okay. Barry, actually, first I'm going to ask you to define, what are you as a public fiduciary? Tell us about that.
So a fiduciary is someone who acts in the best interest of others. As it relates to estate planning, the basic estate planning documents are the trust, the power of attorney, the advance directive. So the successor trustees of the trust and the agents on the power of attorney are fiduciaries. And as you alluded to, not everybody has people that are appropriate to put in those positions. So as a fiduciary, as a private fiduciary, I will step in and serve as a trustee of trust. I will serve as the agent on a power of attorney and the agent on the advance healthcare directive.
And I must have misspoke. You're not a public fiduciary. You're a private fiduciary. Tell us the difference.
It's just a term of art. Okay. So when it comes to who you have as a possible successor trustees, there's either corporate trustees, there's individual friends and family, and then there's a category of individuals who are licensed by the state of California to serve in that capacity. And we're just referred to as private professional fiduciaries.
So I imagine this position requires an awful lot of clarity and understanding, and is also extremely critical. Because, and I know you have examples to share with us of when you might step in when there's abuse, and when you might step in when there's not abuse, there's just not ability for whoever is named to take on those responsibilities. Can you share some of those examples with us?
Certainly. And you know, to be clear, being someone's trustee or being someone's agent under a power of attorney, it's not an honor, not a privilege, it's a job. It's a hard job that most people are just not qualified to do well. Statistically, the burden of caring for mom and dad tends to fall to the adult daughters. So there are other options out there. Some of the downside I have seen, one case in particular, where mom was an alcoholic and daughter was the agent on the power of attorney. And it was a power of attorney that was effective immediately. It didn't become effective when mom became incapacitated. It was effective when mom signed it. Well, the daughter assumed that mom would drink herself to death. So the daughter started spending mom's money. Mm-hmm. The problem is mom sobered up and discovered what the daughter had been doing. And it wasn't as though the daughter was taking the money and investing in Cougarans. She was paying her bills and spending the money. So that was one situation where a trusted daughter abused mom's trust. Mm-hmm. Another situation that I'm dealing with currently is dealing with the family, the ongoing family dynamic. Mm-hmm. One of my taglines is that I protect rich widows from bad children. And this is an example of bad children who relying on mom and dad for care and support. And then when dad passed away, the son got more aggressive and more usurious with the money, with the family business, with writing personal checks, with paying personal checks out of the company credit card. And when mom would ask for backup information, his line was, well, what's the matter, mom? Don't you trust me?
Mm-hmm. I imagine that must be an issue that comes up so much, that sensitive area that one can put that manipulative statement to a parent, and then it creates just this, gosh, yeah, you're right, and I feel terrible. And then there's also this feeling of lack of power about what my options are. So how did you become involved in that situation?
You know, like most of my cases, it was referred to me by a trusted advisor. In this case, it was referred by their CPA, who had been seeing this ongoing behavior and hearing her client complain about the situation, but really not knowing what to do about it. So I was brought in. I was able to support mom, who has capacity. That was not an issue. Mm-hmm. But what she needed, for lack of a better term, was a backbone. She needed someone to backstop her and say, you know what? No, you're right. Your fears and suspicions are correct. And this is how I will address it. We will confront the situation, we'll discover the depth of the bad behavior, and take actions to correct it. Because this wasn't something that just happened overnight, like an employee that was embezzling. This was her son. Mm-hmm. And this was an ongoing behavior that had escalated. Mm-hmm. So in a normal situation, we would have had someone maybe arrested or in other legal issues, but there's also a family here. So as a fiduciary, I'm able to come in and go, okay, how can we keep the family together? How can we change the behavior, stop the abuse, make amends over time, but still keep the family dynamic from breaking down? Because in the long run, there's still a family here.
Right. And that's what I appreciate so much about who you are as an individual, and not just about the service. The service is critical, but you're very respectful of all parties. Tell us more about this particular situation. How did you do that with the son? I'm sure the son wasn't really pleased to see you. How did you win the trust of the mom?
At the end of the day, it's all relationship based. You know, anybody can sell you a car, anybody can sell you a refrigerator. But when you have these interpersonal dynamics, it really is about, is this person the right fit? So I tend not to sugarcoat. I tell things the way I see them. And for most people, that's what they want. They want to hear the truth. So talking with mom and her CPA, we're all on board. We all agreed, you know what, the situation has gone on too long. It needs to change. It's just mom didn't have the strength to do it on her own. Mm-hmm. So we had a family meeting, and we just told the son what was so, that, you know, this is what we have found. that this behavior is not appropriate and it is going to change. Mom, having capacity, made me the co-trustee. She made me the agent on the power of attorney, and it was nothing that the son could do about it. So when faced with the truth of, you know, we are taking the credit cards away, this behavior is going to stop. And it was very interesting because several times he has told me that, you know, he's not happy with me, but he knows he has to work with me. So oftentimes when you confront this situation, the person who's confronted gets it. They know they've been getting away with something wrong.
Right.
So it's just a matter of shining the light on it and being consistent in the application of a behavior going forward.
And tell us a bit more, too, about those situations where somebody is losing capacity. I had a prospective client referred to me in this past it was about 3 months ago. And as I have been talking with her and meeting with her, we're the same way. I know you'll talk about this a bit later, but we do a fair amount of complimentary meeting and reviewing with a prospective client before we move forward into anything where we're charging, because we want to make sure we have a very clear understanding of who we are, what we do, and how we'll work together. And as I was speaking with this gentleman, I realized that although he came in the first time and seemed pretty together and on top of things, it actually, as we went through and went deeper into more technical discussion, strategic discussion, it really, he was unable to track and to follow. And the biggest issue really was that he's primary caregiver for his wife. And he's in his 80s, and his wife is in her 90s, and that was really all he could handle. And I couldn't say it was a dementia issue. I don't have those skills or that knowledge, but I know you've come across issues of dementia. I know you're not an expert in dementia, but you brought some information about dementia. Can you share a bit of how often dementia could strike in a family?
Well, statistically, about 1 out of 10 individuals over the age of 65 is going to experience some form of dementia. About 70% of dementia is Alzheimer's, which is, as everybody knows, the scariest of all diseases. It's one of the 10 causes of death of people, and it's the only one that's not preventable or curable. 30% of dementia is some type of vascular dementia, some kind of trauma, or something that can be treated or cured or you know, recovered from. The opportunity here is if someone is losing capacity, if they are aware of it, they have the opportunity of stepping aside, of really transferring their authority before we have to have them declared incompetent. And I've had a couple cases in my estate planning career, one in particular where the husband knew that he was having a loss of mental cognitive ability. And he just chose to resign as trustee. He had the wherewithal to know, my wife's going to take over, and then our children are going to take over. I don't need to be here. And it was such a blessing for the family, because if someone has incapacity, in order for the successor trustee to take over or the agents on the power of attorney to take over, we typically have to have that person declared incompetent.
And how is that done?
Typically, it's done by two physicians not related by blood or marriage. Because Alzheimer's has come to such prominence over the last couple decades, there are very specific tests for mental capacity. So we know the difference between eccentricity versus a true lack of capacity.
Yeah.
But being declared incompetent, it's the scarlet letter. It's a branding. And it has a negative effect. So if we have the ability to talk to someone and say, you know, it's time for you to step away, they maintain their dignity. They haven't been declared incompetent. Mm-hmm. They've just chosen to let someone else take over, which is always the better approach if we can go there. Otherwise, we will use the heavy hand and have them declared and take the checkbook away.
Mm-hmm. And the car keys and those things. But yeah, you work in such a sensitive area with this. I keep trying to get I know how I work with clients, and we have had family meetings here and talking about the issues of dad does not appear to be as healthy as he was, but dad fights it and says, no, I'm just fine. And this is, and obviously it's a very difficult thing for any of us in our best minds to admit, gosh, you know, I'm just not a superstar at this, and to let go. Tell us more. I just think, gosh, how does someone go ahead and make this transition? It is challenging to bring you in.
You know, it's never easy. And especially with men, because if you've ever known an older man who retired and then had a deterioration, men in particular, not to exclude women, but I will stereotype a little bit, men in particular, we identify with what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask someone what they do, they don't say, well, I like to garden, I like to ski. It's like, I'm a CPA, I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm. So our identity is tied up with our activities, with our control, with being able to drive. So it really is understanding that when we're approaching this topic, we're talking about a core issue of the individual, their competency, their ability to interact and be powerful. There is no easy way to have this conversation. You just have to have the conversation. You have to broach the subject. There's never a good time for it, sooner rather than later. Let it be uncomfortable. Let it be messy. Let the emotions come out. And you have to work through it. And you hopefully the person will voluntarily accede their control. But if they're actually doing harm to themselves, to their finances, to their well-being, then we have to be able to take the next step and have them declared and go through the process of really removing all control. And that can also mean changing the mail. Because if they get a credit card application, even if they've been declared incompetent, the credit card companies don't know that, so they can still apply for credit cards. They can still do damage.
Isn't that amazing? You would just think that, okay, those will stop, but of course they don't stop. We get tons all sent to us all the time. So changing the mail, what would, just sticking with that for a moment, so changing it to?
Changing it to the address of the person who is now the trustee and the agent. Mm-hmm. It's not a simple fix. It really is, like with children, it's taking complete control over the important aspects of their life. And they may not be happy about it. You know, chances are they won't be. But again, that's where the fiduciary comes in. It's acting in the best interest of others, even if at the time mm-hmm. they're not in agreement what that is. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the hardest, heartbreaking part.
I can imagine. I mean, I just can completely understand that it would be. With obviously, again, we'll circle back to this issue of trust, because trust of you or whomever they may choose is incredibly paramount. How does someone validate that you are, or someone else serving in the private fiduciary, is actually skilled, competent, and able to be trustworthy in this way?
A couple things. One, obviously, it's first impression. That's why all my consultations are complimentary until I get to put pen to paper, so that we build a rapport, we build a relationship. Also, and I think most importantly, everything we do is transparent. Trustees provide an accounting. And especially in today's day and age, with the electronic paper trail, I can't even buy an extra cup of coffee at Starbucks on a client's account without it showing up. So it's the level of transparency that we have. It's the check and balance. You know, either we're the sole trustee, we can also be a co-trustee. So now there's another person, maybe it's the family member, who is acting as a check and balance on the activities of the trustee. And again, at the end of the day, everything is accounted for.
And I imagine also, even beyond that, you are an estate planning attorney. You are a member of the bar. You do have obligations there as well. So you're not just someone who put out a shingle, so to speak, and says, I can do this.
Exactly. I've got a lot at risk being a fiduciary. Mm-hmm. And early on, you know, my ethics just say, you know what, no client has anything that I want that's worth me risking mm-hmm. my bar ticket. Mm-hmm. And for some of those cases as well, I can also be bonded. And if any of you are not familiar with that, you know, if you have a contractor work on your house, they're typically licensed and bonded. And a bond is an insurance policy in case they break anything. Well, fiduciaries can be bonded, and quite often we are in our higher net worth estates. Just in case we do something untoward, there's an insurance policy to back up any losses that we may intentionally create. So there's always some check and balance, there's always security for the client.
And I know in times I have certainly have had a client who, because of his dementia, when his wife passed away, he became very aggressive, and he focused that aggression, unfortunately, on his two adult children, who only wanted to do what was best for him, only had his best intentions at heart. So a fiduciary was brought on, and I know I was engaged with this person, with the fiduciary as well, which was fine, showing and reviewing with the family, with the fiduciary, what was happening in the investment portfolio, what we were navigating in terms of cash flow out to the client, how that was working, etc. So often someone in my position works with someone in your position. So there's a whole team available for the client.
Yes, and part of the fiduciary's opportunity, obligation, it's not just working with the client, it's working with the family. So in that case, the kids are going through hell because this man who was their loving father is now this angry, aggressive person who's saying things at them. And it's not the same person, but it looks the same, so it has a deep impact. So as a counselor at law, I can talk with the children as well and help them be with the situation. And that might involve outside therapists because there are issues coming up. This is not a non-emotional situation. It's a very emotional situation. And as I like to say, you know, mom and dad are the glue that hold the family together. And when mom and dad are gone, what's keeping the siblings together? So everything we can do to maintain that from an emotional point of view is on the table, needs to be addressed, and are opportunities that are there to keep the health of the family going.
And I appreciate what you've talked about, that there's no easy way to discuss. If somebody is waiting, I'm just going to wait for the right time to bring this up to mom or dad or my children, how would you respond?
You know, again, if they're talking to me, then they've already taken the first step. They've already said, you know what, there's an issue here that we need to address. We don't know how to address it, but we acknowledge that there's something here. Then let me be the bad guy. That's the other reason for making a third party the trustee or the agent. Let's leave the children in that child-parent relationship with mom and dad, because once the children become the trustee or they become the agent, it changes the dynamic. And especially if they have to be trustees over their siblings. Let's make a third party the trustee. Let's keep the sibling relationship together. So let me be the one to come in. Let me break the bad news. Let me be the focus of all the anger. Because then the children get to come in as, you know what, we love you, mom and dad. We're trying to support you. This is the issue we're thinking about. It's easier for me to deal with it. I've got the resources. I've got the experience. I've got the vocabulary to be able to explain it in a way that might be more impactful than the children who are coming from a place of love but just don't have the vocabulary to express it as powerfully as it needs to be.
And I think in both of the work that we do, it's very common when we're talking about basically life planning, life goals. There's a number of steps to take. And have you encountered this also, that people can get overwhelmed into paralysis? Because they're thinking, oh my gosh, how is this going to change and that going to change? And I can't deal with all of this. I appreciate that you're there to say, okay, if your mom or dad or child is upset, I will be the focus of that. How do you help them move forward? And I think we do it in a similar way, but tell us about how you do it.
You know, throughout my career, I realize that I'm also an end-of-life counselor, and I'm a certified death doula. And what that gives me is a 360-degree view of the entire process. And I think that's what's important here, is keeping what's happening now in context with the bigger picture. So I think, more to your question, we have to look at what is the next step? What's the next thing to do? Let's not worry about 10 steps down the road. Because we'll get to step 10 after we've gone through step 9, 8, 7, and 6. Right now we're at step 2. Let's get step 2 taken care of. And that really does create the opening for step 3. And now we can shine the light on 4 and 5. So it's moving methodically, clearly, one step at a time, and not trying to solve the entire problem in one meeting.
Right. Not trying to eat the elephant all at once, but one bite at a time.
Exactly.
So, Barry, that's been so wonderful to speak with you. It's just so enlightening. If somebody wanted to connect with you, how would they do that?
I'm blessed with having a very unique name. So if you Google Barry Finkelstein, I show up on Google. My website is bwfesq.com. And I provide complimentary consultations. I do house calls. I do evening and weekend appointments. So I've never felt it was fair to charge someone to find out if they had a matter that I could charge them for. So please, there's a lot of information that everybody needs. And if at the end of the day, I've spent an hour with someone and they choose to go somewhere else, I've done my good deed for the day. So I'm happy to talk with people. I do document reviews and just I counsel people because that's really what's important so that when they move forward, they're doing it powerfully. So reach out to me. I'm not that hard to find. And I've got a blessed life. If I get to give back to people, then I know that I'm doing well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Barry. And if anybody is interested in your, we focus on, as we know, women in transition. So if those want to reach out to me here at Gates Pass Advisors, the easiest way is through the website, gatespassadvisors.com. I can help create a meeting where it's Barry and me meeting with you together and just talking about your situation. Happy to do that. And the main thing is, regardless of what's happening in the market, if the Dow drops another 1,000 points, yes, that's serious. But for many, many families, there are so many issues going on that we help navigate in this broad picture and bring on the good resources to help support so that we navigate your life's volatility as well as the market so you can live a confident and fulfilled life. So please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know how we can be helpful to you.
That is fantastic. Barry and Esther, both of you are so generous as far as, you know, meeting with people and just really getting to the heart of what's going on in their life. And so I want to say thank you for that. And I learned a ton today. I think this is near and dear to my heart because of family members that have been through much of what you're talking about as far as dementia and Alzheimer's and the cognitive issues and estates.
Yes.
And it is so, it's a minefield. It really is a minefield. And to have people on your side that can help you navigate that is so vitally important. So thank you both for your time. And I just, Barry, I wish you the best. I hope you come back as a guest sometime and kind of give us some updates on the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Eric. It was a pleasure.
You bet. Esther, thank you for bringing Barry on. What a great connection.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You bet. And to the audience, thank you all for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.